Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We do know there are some people traveling. The Andersons are traveling, I know. And the Parkers are not. They have some sickness, so pray for them. And others that are not here for whatever reason. I do know those couples are that way. But pray for them. And thank you again for being here this morning in our class. Just good to be alive, isn't it? Good to be well and able to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Appreciate all of you that are here today. Let's open prayer. And again, thank you for being here. We're trusting God for a good day. Whether you're looking at the Bible. Okay. All right. Let's have prayer. We'll get started in the lesson today. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for life. We thank you for this opportunity once again to assemble together in your house. Dear God, as we come, we ask now as we open the Word of God to try to present your truths. I pray the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will lead and guide us, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, bless your people for coming today. Lord, give all of us instruction that we need for our lives. Lord, that somehow our lives may count every day for you. To be with those that are sick. I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd lift them up. I pray you'd give them strength. Thank you for those that are here today, maybe that are not feeling good. But Lord, they put forth effort to be here. And Lord, I pray you bless them for that. Lord, we commit now this time to you. Lord, may you lead us and guide us in all that we say and do. Lord, may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking about last week about spiritual gifts. And today we're going to continue with that. And next Sunday, we're going to be illustrating some spiritual gifts as we look at these. But we know, we talked about in Ephesians 4 last few weeks, how gifted men Christ gave to the church. Gifted men he gave to the church in the early church. Those men consisted of apostles, consisted of prophets, evangelists, and also pastors and teachers. Now, a teacher may not be a pastor, but a pastor is a teacher, okay? A pastor is a teacher. A teacher may not be a pastor, but a pastor is a teacher always. Every good pastor is a good teacher from the Word of God. So we find that last week. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see here the gifts, Paul presents the gifts which the Spirit has given to believers in the local assembly. He presents these gifts to us as what they are. Now in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also Ephesians chapter 4, if you would tally up these, he's talking about roughly 18 different gifts he talks about that believers are able to have. Now a gift is a what? It's a gift, right? Just like eternal life is a gift. In other words, there's nothing that we do to earn eternal life, is there? Nothing. It's a gift from God. Well, now these spiritual gifts are gifts also. They're gifts also. We're going to talk about them today. Now we know our body, our human body, has many members, does it not? This body that we are housed in has many members. We also know that these members, however, are one body. One body. Even though there's many members, there's only one body that we live in here. Now, each member is a member of all others. All others. This makes this body complete. This makes this body whole, if you please, or complete. We also know that all members in this body have not the same work or same function to do. In other words, the stomach don't do the same job as the large intestines, does it? The liver don't do the same function as the kidneys do. So this body is made up of different members to function as a whole body, as one. Now, even so with us in Christ, as a body of believers, as a church, as a local assembly. We also see here that we are one body in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 12. Our first verse we read today. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. We are one body in Christ. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. Now, body is not an illustration. Body is an actualization. It's a reality. Body is a real thing. Okay? It's not something that, as an illustration. We are individually members one of another. We're members one of another as a body of believers in Christ Jesus of one another. And we see this also in verse 27. Look at it. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Members in particular. In other words, we are a body, they're members together. For every believer that's here today, there is a gift. There is a gift given to you by the indwelling Spirit of God to enable you to benefit the whole body of Christ. The whole body of Christ. So the gift that you have been given is to benefit not just you or you, but it's to benefit the whole body of Christ, as we know the church, whatever that gift may be. So we see this is very important. A member of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this whole chapter here, it's actually chapter 12 through 14, but chapter 12 presents that the believer is baptized into the Spirit, into the body, and is given a gift. Is given a gift or gifts to use to build up the whole body of Christ. Now, every believer we know is given a gift. Some believers are given more than one gift, but everybody has one gift that we're given to. Now, we know there's a universal body, as we know the church. It started on the day of Pentecost, right? It'll end at the rapture of the church. That's what we call the universal body of Christ. But we also know there is also a local body through which each member ministers for the Lord in. And that's what we have here, the local assembly here at Fellowship Baptist Church. So we see this is very important. Now, what about spiritual gifts? What about spiritual gifts? Now, here in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 12 through 14, we find Paul names a lot of spiritual gifts. But first of all, let's define a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is simply a supernatural ability, given by Christ through the Holy Spirit to every believer. And I believe this gift is given at the moment of salvation. It's given at the moment of salvation. Whatever gift God has for me and you, He gave it to me, He gave it to you when I became a Christian, whenever you were born again. He gave you that talent, not a talent, He gave you that gift, because it's a gift. It's a gift, different between a talent and a gift. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we see here, this is a spiritual gift. Now, notice the difference between the gift of the Spirit and also the gifts from the Spirit. There is a difference. The gift of the Spirit, again came when? As far as the church is concerned. The gift of the Spirit came when?
Pentecost.
On the day of Pentecost, right. There in the first chapter of Acts, we find that when they prayed, and they're all in the upper room, 120 of them plus, and they prayed, and the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Bible says they received what? Power to go out into the whole world and be witnesses unto everybody. Okay? Now, that's the gift of the Spirit. Now, this occurred then. Now, notice the gifts come, I believe, with all my heart, upon the day of our salvation. The gifts come. That's when God gives us the gifts. We see here the gifts The distinction between the spiritual gifts and the human talents now. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit, given by Christ through the Holy Spirit, to enable you and I to function as a body of believers. Now, everybody in here has a gift. Everybody, if you're a Christian today, I'm going to say that. If you've been born again, you have a gift. And Christ gave you that gift to function in this body, as we know, the church. Now, a talent is a natural or a human ability given to someone, I think, it can be by physical birth, too. You know people that have talent to play the piano, to sing, do all kinds of things. You know, that's a talent. That's a human ability, a natural ability that people have. Well, a spiritual gift is not a human or a natural ability. It's a supernatural ability, supernatural gift that God gives to each one of us. And he gives each one of us that gift. Now, notice the extent of these spiritual gifts. Again, I say, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 7. The Bible says again, chapter 12, verse number 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit withal. In other words, what I'm saying here is that every believer possesses at least one spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift. The Bible says this. However, we do know also that there is no believer that has every gift. No believer has every gift. But every believer has at least one gift. At least one gift. Look at verse number 20. Let's see, verse 29 and 30 says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So we see here that every believer has one gift. No believer has all gifts. No believer has all gifts. Now, what is the purpose of these gifts that Christ gives to us through and by the Holy Spirit of God? Number one is to glorify God. To glorify God. God gives us special abilities to bring glory to Him. To bring glory to Him in our lives. I mean, folks, listen. Who deserves our glory? Only Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy of the glory, and we should share it. We should glorify Him. Not only are these gifts given to us to glorify God, but also these gifts are given to us to edify or to build up, if you please, the believer and the church. To edify and to build up the believer and the church. That's to encourage the church, to make the church function the way God wants it to function, you see. That's why He gives us these abilities. I'm so glad. Not only did God save us by grace through faith, but God gave us, every one of us, a supernatural ability to help benefit the church, the work of God. Every one of us. There's something that you can do to build up this church that is the church of God. We all have that ability within us. It's supernatural, and it is a gift. It is a gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. I can't stress that enough. It's a gift that God has given you. Paul told Timothy to stir up the what? Gift that is within you. You see, you stir it up. How do you stir it up? I believe the only way you can stir up the gift that God's given you is to get in this book and read it and study it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what He wants you to do, what He's given you to do. There's something about this book, if you start reading, it's going to stir you up. It's going to encourage you. It's going to excite you about doing something for Christ. But if I never read this book, if I never get in this book, that gift's going to remain dormant in my body, my soul. And it's never going to benefit anybody, not one person. But if I read this book instead of this book, it's going to stir me up. Because the Spirit of God helps me to see, first of all, who I am, how wretched I am, what a sinner I am, and how I need to ask forgiveness. Ask God to fill me with His Spirit and His power so I can do what He wants me to do. So we see that these gifts are to glorify God and to edify the believers in the church and also the church. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these few verses here, I want us to look this morning at how Paul illustrates these two purposes. That is, to glorify God and also to build up or to edify the believer and the church as far as the body is concerned. Now, look at verse number 12 again in verse 13. We're going to read two verses. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now all believers here are part of Christ's body. That's what he's telling us. All believers are part of the body of Christ, if we're believers. A genuine, born-again child of God, you are a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. What a privilege we have, folks, of being a part of the body of Christ. What a privilege it is. It's a privilege. Now, notice also, look at verse number 14. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but what? Many. The body is not one member, but many members. Not all members now have the same function within the body, do we? Not all members have the same function within the body. Just like this body we have, I said a while ago, the stomach doesn't do the job of the large intestines, okay? It don't work that way. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how God, the Bible almost tells us this body we have is fearfully and wonderfully made, Brother Sam. And when we begin to look at it and how it functions and how it operates, all we can say is amen. Because of how God has put all these organs in this body inside and these members outside, and He enables us to be able to function in this life as a human being. That's an amazing thing to me. It's an amazing thing to me how it all works. But likewise, the church is the same. It works in the same principle. It works in the same principle. See, not all members have the same function in the body. But look at verse number 18. It says, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has what? Pleased Him. God has put everybody into His family as it pleased Him. As it pleased Him. In other words, God has given you the natural, supernatural ability that He wants you to have to function like He wants you to function, like it pleases Him, you see. Therefore, when we do that, we are to please Him. And how do we please God? The Bible tells us in Hebrews there's only one way to please God. That's through what? Through faith. Through faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. So we see every member is equally important to God. You are no more important to God than anybody else. Every member is the same as far as He's concerned. I'm glad for that. God is no respecter of persons. He looks down upon all of us as who we are. Sinners, lost, on the way to hell. Now we're saved, born again children of God, by the grace of God. It's only by His mercy and grace can we say we're saved and know that we're saved today. So we see that all members are equally important to God. Now let's look at every member. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Now, that's foolish, isn't it? When the foot cannot say, I'm not part of the body. Now, if you're born again child of God, you can't say you're not part of the body, because you are. You are a part of the body of Christ, okay? Just like your foot is part of your body. Notice also, it says also in verse 16, says, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? You say, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a singer, I'm not this, I'm not part of the body. Yes, you are a part of the body. And you have a supernatural gift that God has given you to function in this body as we know the church. You have that if you're saved today. You're saved today. See, it's not so important what you are, who you are in the church. It is important that you are in the church by birth. You're in the church, you see. It's not important that you have to be a pastor. You have to be a teacher. You have to be whatever you want to call it in the church. The fact is that you have a part, and whatever that gift is that God's given to you, find out what it is and function in that gift, through that gift, for the glory of God and to build up the church. See, that's why we're here. But notice also in verse number 21, the Bible says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. There's not one member in your body can say, I have no need of another member, right? Because they all need one another. There's not one member in this body of Christ here can say, there's no need for me. Yes, there is, because we all need one another to function. Just like a physical body needs every part, every member to function. And we as believers, we need everyone to function. We also see, also in verse 26, look at this. The Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We see here that all members suffer and rejoice with other members. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, or maybe I say something wakes me up, it's called cramp in the calf of my leg. And the pain that's in my calf of my leg, Brother Sam, tells my body to move. And my whole body suffers because of it, right? And about the best thing I can do to it, I've learned to do, is just get out of the bed and stand up on it. That's hard to do, but that's the only thing I can find to get rid of it. Fast is to stand up on it, you know. But what I'm saying is, when one part of this member of this body suffers, the rest of the body does what? Suffers to some extent. Okay? Likewise, in the body of Christ, when one person suffers, it can be a loss of a loved one, it can be some kind of tragedy, whatever, sickness, whatever, we all, in essence, do suffer too. Because we're concerned about one another. We're concerned about, quote, our body. As believers, you see. Because all of us are important. All of us are important. Now, let's notice the abuse of the spiritual gifts. How does a person abuse these spiritual gifts? We see, first of all, by not using those gifts imparted to us, we abuse them by not using them. It's like saying, you know, God's given me something, and I'm not going to use it. Okay? He's given me something, but I'm not going to use it. Now, on the other hand, there's a tragedy also in trying to use those gifts that have not been imparted to us. I have known people in the past, and I'm sure you have too. They were good people, morally. They were good people, period. And they did things in the church. I mean, such like maybe, I know one guy in particular, he was a deacon in the church for many years. But he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. And that's a no-no. You know, sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with somebody. And it did. It caught up with him. In other words, until the gift is imparted, we cannot use a gift. We may be using our talents, okay? Our talents, yes. But I'm talking about a spiritual gift. And there is a difference between a spiritual gift and a talent that a person has. See? So what I'm saying is, not using those gifts that are given to us is a shame. And also, when we attempt to use gifts that we don't have imparted, In Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 20, we find here that Simon was seeing the miracles that the apostles were doing. And he tried to buy it. He wanted to buy that gift that they had, you see. That's abusing it, you see. Because supernatural gifts, just like salvation, cannot be purchased. It cannot be purchased. It is a gift. It is a gift. You don't buy a gift, do you? You don't buy a gift. It's given to you. It's given to me. So we see this is very, very important. Now, again, I said the number of gifts, they vary. You know, whatever, if you go through the scriptures, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, there's as many as 18 different gifts mentioned in these passages that Paul talks about, that he talks about here. He lists these. Now, when is the time element of these gifts? When were these gifts given? When were they given? First of all, we see that there are two different kinds of gifts. There is what they call the sign gifts. Sign gifts. These were given in the first century with the church. The first century. Now, these gifts, again, they were to show the authority of the apostles, okay, and the early Christians. There were healings, there were miracles, there were all kinds of signs given to them. And these were given by God to them. Over in John, let's see, turn back to John chapter 20. We see here John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." There's a lot of things that Jesus did on earth that's not recorded in his word or his miracles that he did. But what we have recorded in his word is to show his authority. Okay? The fact that he was not just a man, but he was God-man, the God-man. And he gave these apostles also this same ability, same power, same spiritual gifts. And these were sign gifts to reveal to mankind, to manifest to mankind that there was a God, there was a true and the living God. You say, why don't we have these sign gifts today? We don't have these sign gifts today because, listen, we have this book. Amen. See, the canon was completed in around 95 A.D., and therefore, we don't need signs today. We have the book. We have the record. You see, this is what we need today, to believe this, to believe this. And therefore, we see this is why we have this. Sign gifts. And now we find here today, we have also the complete canon of the scriptures that we can have. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17 tells us that we have the scripture. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it tells us why. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, all these things, and it's profitable. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, therefore we have the scriptures. We don't need signs no more. We have the scriptures. We have the scriptures as a strength to us. So we see the sign gifts were given in the first century. We also see there's another gift called the stationary gifts. Stationary gifts. These are ones that are permanent. Permanent. And these are ones we're going to talk about maybe next week. The gifts of maybe faith, discernment, helps, all these other things we're going to talk about next week. Teaching, exhortation, mercy, ruling, all these gifts. There's a lot of them. And we're going to cover them next week, the Lord willing. Now, again, I say it's a dangerous thing to try to serve God. To try to serve God when no gift has been given. It's dangerous. But yet on the other hand, it's tragedy. It's tragedy to refuse to use a gift for his glory. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse number 6, I believe it is. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. And Paul is writing here to young Timothy. He says, wherefore if I put thee in remembrance that thou, what? Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You know, sometimes we need to ask God to stir up me. Do you ever want to be stirred up by God? I do. I want God to get hold of me sometimes and then shake me, Brother Tyra. Wake me up. You know, we get so complacent sometimes. We get so satisfied in our own comfort zone, so to speak. You know, we need to be stirred up. That's why we have camp meeting. You know that? To stir us up. To wake us up and help us to realize, hey, and when we get stirred up, then that gift becomes to blossom in us. You know? We want to witness. We want to do something for God. Then we see what, you know, God is trying to work through us and trying to do through us because He's stirring us up. He's stirring us up. So we see here it's very, very important. Now, notice these gifts are not necessarily a mark of Christian character or neither spirituality. I want you to know that. Just because somebody has the gift of teaching or whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean they are spiritual, doesn't mean they are, they have great character. Doesn't mean that at all. It just simply means that God, they're enabling God. They're asking God to use them in a way that God wants to use them. We know that because the Corinthians here, in this passage of Scripture, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we know they were very carnal. But yet they were doing wonderful things. They were doing wonderful things even though they were carnal people, you see. So we need to be careful about this. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying to us today that spiritual gifts are for everyone. You have a gift. Now I know some of you are saying, Brother Keith, I don't know nothing I can do. Aren't you? I'm looking around here. Somebody's saying that. I know somebody's saying that. But you know what? That's not true. You can do something. You can do something. There is a gift within you that you received when you became a child of God. When the Holy Spirit of God came in and abiding with you, God gave you a gift. God gave you at least one gift. Now, you say, Brother Keith, what is a gift? I can't tell you. I can tell you how to find out what it is, but I can't tell you what that gift is. But you have a gift, and God wants you to use that gift to glorify Him, to edify the church, and edify the believers. And oh, I would today, if every one of us is children of God, if we would get hold of this and ask God to stir us up, like Paul told Timothy, stir us up to know what that gift is and to use that gift. My, what a difference it's making our churches today. My, what a difference it's making our own lives today. It will stir us up. And God will be glorified. And after all, that's what I want. And then what you want? I want God to be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say. So it's very important today that we realize, yes, there was a time when God began the church. He gave gifts, gifted men, if you please, to the church. Christ did. Now we're living a different dispensation. We're living a time now when God gives all His children a gift. It's not just eternal life. It's a spiritual gift. It's a supernatural ability to do something for Him. To do something for Him. Now, what is it that you can do? What is it that you can do for God? You say, Brother Heath, I don't know what I can do. Well, begin to pray. Begin to read the Scriptures. Read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, okay? Read also Romans chapter 12. And, of course, Ephesians chapter 4. If you begin to read these verses and ask God to show you what your gift is, I believe He'll show you. He'll show you. And then you can begin to make that gift blossom for God and for His glory. So I'm thankful today for the gifts that God has enabled his children to have by gift. Okay? To impart to us the ability. Because listen, I have no ability. I have no ability to do anything for God. I don't. But I'm so glad I heard many years ago. But Brian, you heard this too, I'm sure. The only ability that God wants is what? Availability. See, if we make ourselves available to God, see, God can use us in a way that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine how he can use us, you see. I've heard the testimony, and I gave the testimony myself. Years ago, when I was in school, you know, there's always that day to give a book report, right? You're supposed to read a book, right? And sometimes you had to stand up in front of the class and give an oral book report. That's the day I wanted to stay out for some reason. I don't care. I prayed for snow. I prayed to get sick. I prayed something, you know. And you sit there in the classroom, you know, the teacher's got the record book in her hand calling out people, you know, to say theirs. And you're saying, I hope I have to wait out of recess, you know. And the longer you put it off, the worse you dread it. You know, to stand up in front of a class and try to give a book report. That was one thing I did not like in school. I literally despised it because I was just so bashful, so shy. You know, I just didn't want to do it. You know, put me out on the playground, I'm fine. But don't make me stand up in front of people, you know, to talk, because I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that, you know. But it's amazing how God enables us to do things for him that we don't have the ability to do naturally, but he gives us that ability spiritually to do something for him. Listen, I want to challenge you. Pray and ask God what your gifts are. Ask God to show you. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to illustrate some of these gifts to you. We're going to illustrate some of these gifts to you to help you, hopefully, to see what we're talking about. What we're talking about. See, how you respond to something and how I respond to something and what I say and what I do can show you a spiritual gift. Did you know that? How you respond to a given situation, by what you do or by what you say, can help you to see a spiritual gift that you may have, that you may have. And we're going to use that next week as an illustration. We're going to use probably about 4 or 5 different things. We're going to have one incident, and we're going to try to relate to you maybe 4 or 5 different spiritual gifts. Hopefully that we together can see what we're talking about, what a spiritual gift is, what a spiritual gift is. I'm so glad that God saved us by his grace through faith, but God has enabled us by supernatural ability to do something for him, folks. We all have that ability. We all have that ability to do at least something. You got one gift. You got one supernatural gift. I know you do if you're saved today. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I've stumbled and stammered. But Lord, I just pray somehow, Lord, that each one here can understand and see, Lord, that God wants to use them. God wants to use them. And they're part of the body of Christ. What a joy it is to know that. But yet God, on the other hand, God wants us to be used. He wants us to do something for him. And God, I pray you'd enable us all, Lord, to know what that is. And God, that you might manifest that gift to us and that we might use it, Lord, to bring glory to you and to build up the church and the believers. Father, we're going to another hour service now. I pray, Lord, you bless as we go into it. I pray you bless our pastor. Anoint him afresh and anew. Give him power this morning to speak what you've laid upon his heart to share with us. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray somehow the Spirit of God would draw that individual to you even this day. Lord, bless the singing. Lord, may all that we do bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.